Artigupta is professor in the Department of Computer Science at Princeton University. Her research interests are in formal verification of programs and systems, automatic decision procedures, and electronic design automation. And I've talked to Arti just a bit in conferences in the past, and sort of in more recent work, I've been looking at some of her work and going, oh, she done this, oh, she done that. So I'm actually really delighted that she's giving a talk here today to find out more.
Thank you so much, Philippa, for that introduction. And hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be here and talk a little bit about the stuff I've been doing for network verification these days. And the talk today is about actually using abstract interpretation, which I'm sure many of you love. So, okay, I don't know if I can advance. Okay. All right. So networks, you know, provide very critical infrastructure in society today. They connect us to the software services we love. And of course, they've been lifesavers in these tough times that we're all going through. So for a network, it's useful to think about, you know, the way it operates is that there is a control plane where you have these various routers that are talking with each other in a distributed manner, and they are essentially executing some kind of a protocol, and they are configured to take messages from each other, choose some routes, and so on. And there are various control plane protocols like RI. The slide I was talking about was this one, where you can think of the network as having essentially a control plane where routers exchange messages with each other according to some predefined protocol, and they are configured sometimes with like hundreds of thousands of lines of code that everybody is very afraid to touch. But essentially, once the control plane protocol is done, what you get are forwarding tables, which constitute the data plane of the network. And these are essentially rules about if you see a packet that is destined, you know, with the destination going to this address, send it to port one or send it to port two and so on. So these are just forwarding tables. And these are what determine the communication of the packets and the runtime. When you see a packet that is headed for a certain destination, according to the header field, you will send it out. So network errors, you know, sadly enough, are very common and they are very disruptive. It's because you do use these software and actually really low level software in the configurations when you are trying to arrange for the control plane protocols and the rules that need to be followed also in the data plane. So there has been a lot of interest in verification, applying formal verification like techniques. So the graph here is sort of trying to give you the landscape, if you will, of the various efforts that have gone on in about the last decade or so. So on the x-axis here is the coverage that you can see. So earliest techniques like ping or traceroute look at a single packet and see where all it has gone. Once there were interest in looking at data planes, especially in the context of software defined networking, some of these techniques like HSA header space analysis and Veriflow have become very useful in verifying properties like reachability, but they do it for a single data plane, which means for a given set of forwarding rules, you can verify whether you have the properties or not. Of course, there's been interest in also verifying the control planes. And so there you look at all possible data planes that might arise out of the control plane because of the configurations. And there are work which have looked at particular kinds of abstractions for those. And some of them can actually handle all possible data planes because they're doing symbolic analysis like bagpipe. So a few years ago, when I started working in this area, I of course, love SMT solvers. So the work that we did in Minesweeper and Bonsai was essentially modeling the control plane behavior of a network using SMT models, using SMT constraints. And then one could verify in the usual way any property and find a violation. But the work I'm going to talk about today is ShapeShifter. And this was presented at Popul last year. This uses slightly different techniques. And let me, before I tell you about more of that, let me tell you what is going on in a generic routing protocol. And this was stuff that I learned when I was trying to figure out, you know, how to model the control plane behavior. So here we have a very simple toy example, let's say with just 5 routers, let's say one of them is actually the destination. And I'm going to show you how a idealized RIP protocol, routing information protocol, works. So you start with the origin or the destination, creating an initial announcement stating that it has a path to destination B. It's obviously D. So let's say that the distance to destination here is 0. That's what the protocol is going to maintain, the distance to the destination. And once there's an announcement, the nodes will that receive the announcement will pass it on to their neighbors, possibly modifying it. So here, when we transfer this announcement, the distance now becomes 1 at each of these neighbors, and the nodes will keep doing that. They will receive announcements and they will send them on to the neighbors. And if there are multiple announcements at a node, for example, here, they will use some logic, which is configured in the protocol, to choose a best route. So here, actually, the distance for both of these announcements is 1. So it doesn't matter which one you choose. But let's say then you would choose one of them. And then the distance to the destination becomes 2. And at this point, for a tower example, there's nothing else to do. And so eventually, hopefully, these protocols are designed so that the system converges to what is called a stable solution, which means even if you get more announcements from your neighbors, you are happy where you are. You don't change your announcement anymore. So all of these routing protocols are essentially designed, if they are well designed, to result in stable solutions. The problem, and this is what we had done when we wanted to model the behavior of the control plane in terms of an SMT formula, we essentially modeled a formula such that its satisfying solutions gave us stable solutions. However, the problem is of scalability. Whether you use control plane simulation, and there have been past efforts that use that, in particular, Badfish is a really, really nice tool that does the job of taking a lot of vendor languages in which the configurations are specified and extracts a logic-based model from it in order to perform simulation. Our work, Minesweeper, had done control plane verification using SMT, and there have been other methods also that use various abstractions to talk about control plane verification. The problem with most of them is that they scale up to, let's say, about 1,000 or so routers, but we are faced with data centers that have of the order of 10,000 routers. So the scalability challenge is huge. And you know, those of us who work in verification know that's always the essential bottleneck, whether it's hardware designs or it's software programs. For networks too, it's really the scalability that's a big problem, especially if you want to handle the control plane and all possible data planes that arise from it. So as usual, our answer to it is to use abstraction. So we'd like to leverage abstraction to combat the design complexity, in particular for proving the kind of properties we are interested in, which are essentially about reachability and so on. So what we did in this work was we formalized the theory of abstraction for routing protocols, where we combined the well-known abstract interpretation techniques due to Kuso and Kuso with the theory of routing algebras. And actually, in the field of networks, the routing algebras have been very well known due to Sobrino, Griffin, and many other people. What we did was combine the two, and this is, you know, this was presented, as I said, in the Popul 2020 paper. Let me give you the essential intuition behind how we used abstract interpretation along with the theory of algebras. So in terms of just a one slide primer on what is a routing algebra, we are given a network topology. Let's say the V, the set of vertices, are the router nodes. The edges is the connectivity between them. Just because you have an edge doesn't mean that you're going to always accept to send your packets on that edge. That's really what the routing protocol determines. So we have an algebra, which is a five tuple. S is just a set of routes that are getting exchanged between the nodes and the vertices. Merge is a function which, given two routing announcements, tells you which is the one that you're going to choose. So it's like choosing the best or choosing the preferred one amongst the announcements that you see. And we can define it pairwise and, of course, apply it to all the announcements that are seen at a node. Transfer is this function which tells us how, along an edge, given an announcement, you may do some modifications. So as I showed you in the previous slide, if you get an announcement with one, then when you send it out, it will have distance two plus one on it. So that's the transfer that happens when you send an announcement to a neighbor. And for the boundary conditions, we've got an initial route. Let's say we denote it by a zero, but it's in some sense the the initial value, and an invalid route, which is lack of a route, because maybe it gets dropped or maybe you didn't get any announcement at all, is denoted as infinity. So this is a very nice algebra, and many properties of such algebras have been studied. And in fact, it was shown that many routing protocols can be seen as following some algebra, and then you can reason about things like convergence and so on. But what people hadn't done so far was to use these algebra along with the topology in order to check properties like reachability or other properties that one may be interested in. So let me give you, rather than go into the theory of it, which you can read all about it in the paper, I will give you a bit of a hint. Let me show you by example how we can use an abstraction with a routing algebra. So here is again a toy kind of a network. It only has five routers. Let's say R1 is my destination, and R1 is connected to two routers here. The edges on the labels on the edges show what happens to an announcement. So if we send an announcement from R1 to R3, we will add a community tag called C1. And this is the kind of thing one might do in a protocol called border gateway protocol. And actually, I'm showing you a simplified view of it. But essentially, it has community tags and so on in the routing fields. So you can add and remove community tags. And you can even have conditionals over here. So if the community tag is one, then the local preference, that's another route field that is maintained in BGP, is assigned to 200. The local preference in general as default is 100 in a BGP protocol. So all that is happening in this network is if you transfer an announcement from R1 to R3, you will add the tag C1. And along this edge, if you send the announcement from R3 to R4, if there is the tag C1, then you will change its local preference to 200. So you can think of it again as the program, the announcements are being exchanged between these routers and you're doing transfers and so on. So let's say for this particular one, I can model the simplified BGP as really where each announcement just consists of a local preference, the path that I have, and the community tags. And the transfer along each edge will simply add the sender to the path. And it might, for example, set the local preference to something like 200, as is shown over here. So let's see at the bottom what would happen when such a protocol would run using, let's say, this routing algebra. So to start with, the destination says that the local preference is 100, which is default. There is no path, so this is the origin, so that's why this is empty. And let's say that the default for the community tag is that it starts with a zero. And then when I go along this, the announcement will be modified. So now R1 will get added to the path and the tag C1 will also get added to the community tags and so on. So here I would get 100, R1 and zero. And from these two, when the announcement comes here, you can see that the path would get extended by adding the sender here. And here is where we choose first, you know, the best route. And BJP usually chooses something with a higher local preference. So because along this edge, the local preference was changed to 200, so R4 will prefer the path sent from R3, and therefore R3 will get added to the path, and the tag will also be the one that it receives from R3, not from R2. And once we have something at R4, it will simply pass that along to R5. And at this point, we've sort of converged. There are no more changes that might happen because of the transfer of announcements. Let's see what happens if we try to abstract these messages. So some of this computation on adding the senders to the paths means we will maintain longer and longer path lengths. The local preference might also be choosing the best among them, might be expensive. So what if the user or network administrator doesn't really care which path I have from R5, as long as I have some path to the destination? So one could think about abstracting the routing messages. And suppose we abstract this message, so we now keep only a simple reachability marker, which says whether I have a route or not. And I will also keep just the community tag. And in fact, I will use a ternary representation. Sorry, this should have been a closed paren. I will use a ternary representation for the community tag. So I will keep 0, 1, or star. Star means I don't know which one it is. It could be either 0 or it could be 1. So if I use this abstraction now, I can play that same game of transferring the announcements, but this time I'll be operating on an abstraction of the routing messages. So I would start
Excuse
with-
me. Yep. So a bit less than 5 minutes, please.
Okay, no worries, thanks. So I will start with the announcement that at the destination it's reachable and the community tag is 0. And this time I'm not going to save the path length or anything. So my abstract messages that I will save get at R3 and R2 as shown in red over here. The interesting thing happens at R4 because I get a message with the community tag 1 and I get another message with community tag 0. And because I'm not saving which one it is, I will abstract it and perhaps lose some information. And with that uncertainty, I will save it as a star. But now I still get a star at R5. And because the reachability marker is 1, I do know that there is a path that can reach R1. It's just that I don't know whether the tag will be 0 or 1, but it's okay. So that's the essence of the abstraction that one can do on the routing announcements. And I won't go into the details, but we essentially talked about abstract interpretation with respect to these routing algebras. And by using many of the properties that arise in networks, we were able to show soundness theorems, which essentially said that if you do your simulation or your execution with respect to the abstract algebra, and if it is uniquely converging, then for any asynchronous schedule, which means we don't have to even worry about the message orderings, we proved that working with the abstract algebra is sound with respect to the concrete algebra A. And of course, as you know, abstraction has many key benefits. In particular, for networks, they often give precise answers. And I will show you that on our experiments, we got precise answers on 95% of real networks. They improve performance a lot because you're tracking much less information. You have smaller state space, fewer iterations to converge, which takes less time. And it creates opportunities for sharing, for example, for multiple destinations. And we also used abstraction to enable new network analyses, for example, a potential hijacking analysis. And here's a very simple example. If we have a network connected to two different external ASs, and let's say suppose we abstract the path just to keep whether something is an internal route announcement or an external. Then we can use the same game to just keep track of internal or external. And at this point, at this node, when we do a merge from something that's external and something that is internal, we can find but because of the external label appearing in the map that we are saving, it's a potential hijacking attack. So with a very simple abstraction, one can actually detect hijacking, potential hijacking attacks. So we created a tool called ShapeShifter where we abstracted the, you know, some common things, especially for BGPs. I won't go into the details, but let me just show you that we were very surprised and pleasantly surprised that on real networks, A, we were able to finish the abstract simulation in less than a minute on each of those networks, which was 1 to 2 orders of magnitude speed up over Batfish, which is sort of the state of the art in terms of network simulation. In fact, about half of the networks had more than a 50x speed up. Furthermore, we could prove soundly the reachability for all destinations for about 95% of the networks. And for the remaining 5%, we could show reachability for the majority of destinations. So this was great. Asymptotically also, it was good to see that we got, you know, many orders of magnitude improvement over doing concrete simulation for the data centers with increasing size. And here is a slightly more detailed graph that shows the times for concrete simulation versus different kinds of abstract simulations that we use with different abstractions. And again, the details are in the paper, but let me just conclude to say that in this work, we formalized the theory of abstraction for network control planes, where we proved soundness for all asynchronous concrete executions. And we built a tool and evaluated it on production data center network, achieved high precision with very few false alarms. And we checked connectivity and variance that are of a lot of interest to network administrators. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I have a question to start us off.
Sure.
I was actually surprised. So, you know, I'm not from your field. You got these simple networks and you were doing these simple abstractions. Then you went from there to what in 95% of cases you can do it. So what's actually going on with these networks in terms of, are they very simple? And the flip question is it difficult to find these abstractions for these networks? And how does one have to think about this?
Yes, that's a great question. And I have to admit that we were surprised too. In particular, you know, we thought this was very surprising. And even this, that 95% of the network, actually, we were able to prove reachability. So these were data center networks, which are very structured. They have like a fat tree topology. And I think the main reason that we were able to prove correctness is because there's a lot of fault tolerance built into the kind of configurations people do for these. So that reachability from one to any other, you know, in the network is very important, but because there's multiple ways that faults could happen, it doesn't matter which path you're taking. So I think that is the essence, because our abstractions ignore the part where we are computing the best path, but as long as there is some path for reachability, and because we are approximating it soundly and pessimistically, what is interesting is that even then we did not get many false alarms. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say, what are the 5% of networks where we weren't able to prove? And there, they were using more fancy features like regular expressions and other things to, you know, basically perform the best route announcements or the route filtering and so on. Yeah.
Thank you. And there's a couple of questions in chat. Adam first.
I was just curious if it's possible to notice patterns in subnetworks of a large data center, so that you don't need to do a global analysis here and you wouldn't need to see a superlinear scaling as the network size increases.
Excellent question. I have a student working on modular verification techniques, because the way these data centers are built, you know, let me see if I have a picture here. I probably don't. But, you know, there's like the pods, and then there's the aggregation layer, and then there's a core layer. And oftentimes the policy for the network depends on the role of a router in that structure. And so one could, in fact, come up with a way to define what the policy is or convert that into a specification of what you want that policy role to be? And that's a great question. So in the past, in our bonsai work, we actually use the symmetry to talk about a compression of the network, where we essentially conducted a homomorphic bisimulation kind of abstraction on the structured thing to get a smaller model on which mm-hmm. we know it is sound. So that perhaps answers your question. But taking that even further, creating modular verification opportunities. Yeah, I have a student doing that. It's work in progress.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Sanjeeva?
Hi, Aarti. Thanks.
Hi, Sanjeeva.
Great talk. How are you doing?
You
partly answered one part of the question when you answered Adam's thing about the small model, but a couple of questions which I had, I don't think Tim is around today, but did you use abstract interpretation for discovering any of the invariants about the network structures and protocols? That was the part A of the question. And does this work well with composing one network with another? Sabrino and Tim Griffin yeah. have used some stuff using semi-modules. Very right. nice algebraic work.
Right. So I think the work of, multiple protocols sort of being used in composition can be easily handled with this SRP model, which combines the topology with the routing algebra. And actually Ryan Beckett, who worked on this particular tool and did some past work, has ways of combining that. So I think the composition part, because of the formal algebra and so on, works out quite nicely. Your first question, which is, have we used abstract interpretation to find the invariants? Actually, so far our abstractions have been targeted very much only for reachability. So, it was really for fast reachability analysis. So mm-hmm. it would be very interesting to think of what abstractions might be useful for other invariants. So like I mentioned in another student's work there, we are actually using the SMT-based formulation because it's just more expressive. We don't have to worry about whether or not we would get the precise answer. So I'm actually using more the SMT-based models there for finding invariants because I don't want to worry about whether I have the right abstract domains or not.
Yeah, maybe the protocols you're looking at aren't that challenging. Lenore Zook and I were looking at protocols which had mobility and stuff, which
core
networks, where reachability is a much harder property to prove.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And I'd love to maybe catch up with you on some of those things. I think of those as, so we went after the standard legacy distributed protocols. And BGP, I have to admit, is one of the fanciest mm-hmm. ones we have seen. And it's also crazy because everything that we have thought about works on OSPF, works on RIP, but BGP has this twist always that you have mm-hmm. to sort of mm-hmm. handle because of this, in some sense, non-monotonic preference order that it has.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And now the last question, I'm very sorry, I can't pronounce your name very well. Zhao Kang or something.
Hi, Zhao Kang.
Sorry.
It's okay. Hi, thank you, Aarti. Very nice talk. So the selection, so the routing algebra will select a single best path for now. I'm just wondering, will it be able to adapt it or to support multiple path selections? So I'm working with my colleagues on traffic engineering. So mm-hmm. you have to take multiple paths to split the traffic, and you may have to explicitly make the decision which how much traffic will go through which path.
Right. So I think our techniques can be possibly extended because really in our implementation, I don't know if you can see the screen, we essentially keep maps, so for different prefixes. And if you wanted to keep multiple paths for the same router, that would be possible also. In fact, a lot of this can be embedded in general in NV, which is a platform that my colleague Dave Walker has developed with his students. It's actually a domain-specific language embedded in OCaml. So it's very expressive. It allows you to use the, you know, whatever kinds of maps and other data structures that might be useful. So I think the algebra would extend to that. You'd have to be careful about defining, you know, the compositions and if there's some place where you need some resolution.
Right. Very nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we should stop there. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks for the feedback. Bye.